Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Everyone that's here and worshiping God with us around the community, around the nation, around the world, let's just put our hands together. Welcome everybody. I was talking to our online pastors just a few minutes ago, and they said we've got people worshiping with us from Uganda, Colorado, Florida, California, Wyoming, Chicago, and Ohio. So welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad that all of you are here as well as those of you who are worshiping with us here in the valley. So if the rain scared you away, we're glad you're at least worshiping with us online this morning. So listen, God's got something great in store for you this morning. And I want to just encourage you. We're wrapping up just almost to the end of our series called Wise Up. We've been journeying our way through the book of Proverbs about the wisdom of God that he has for us. And if you've missed any of the weeks, each one of them have been uniquely powerful. And I want to encourage you to stay on track with what God has for us because he's speaking to us. He's leading us and he's taking us somewhere as a church family. So I want to encourage you, if you miss a week, go back and watch it on Facebook or YouTube or the LifeLink website. Make sure you stay up with what God has for us because he's taken us to a place we've never been before and I don't want to miss it. How about you? Good stuff. All right, well, this morning we have a tag team again today and it's Pastor Ashley and Pastor James. Would you put your hands together? Look at Pastor Ashley as she comes this morning.
Well, good morning, family. How are you today? Worship was amazing. Just me? Okay. I thought it was great. No, and good morning, online family. We're so glad you're here. I am Pastor Ashley. I actually have the privilege to pastor here at LifeLink Church alongside my husband, Troy. And we have two beautiful daughters that keep us busy. I'm excited to be here. This LifeLink has been my church home since I was about 19. And so I'm just glad to be home. And I'm glad you're here. If this is your first time here, I think you might have just found a home too. Okay, so let's buckle up. Let's get into the scriptures this morning. If you've got something to write with or something to write on, great. If you don't, use that phone if you've got it with you. But you're going to want to capture what God is saying to us today. It's so good. So just like Pastor Dave had just mentioned, we're in a series about wisdom. And we have been talking about wisdom from the book of Proverbs. But for today, we're going to switch it up a little bit. And we're going to talk about wisdom coming from the book of James. And James is in the New Testament. And it's the book of the Bible in the New Testament that actually talks a lot about wisdom. And so we're going to use that today. So let's jump right in. Our first scripture is going to be James chapter 3, verse 13. And it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it." Everyone say, "Show it." "By their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." Let's keep reading. James 3 and 14 says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." James chapter 3, if we continue, it says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Whoo! I'm so proud of y'all. You read like 5 scriptures this morning and it's only been 1 minute. Give yourselves a hand. All right. The scripture teaches us some things here. First of all, it says, if you've got wisdom already, show it. How do you show it? Through your good life, by the deeds you do or the actions you take in your daily life, and humility, right? That's how you show it. But the scripture continues to break this down even further and says there's 2 types of wisdom. There's earthly wisdom, which this was the Bible. I didn't make up this word. That's called demonic. The earthly wisdom is demonic. Now, that's not creepy. It's not weird. It just means it doesn't come from God. That's all it means. It's not coming from God. And so, but there is another wisdom. And that's wisdom from above. The scripture calls it wisdom from God, wisdom from above. And for the sake of today's sermon, we're going to call it godly wisdom. That's actually the title of the sermon. So if you're like me and you like to put titles on your notes, godly wisdom. Okay? So wisdom, though, we're supposed to show it. That means it has evidence. If you're showing it, somebody else can see it, right? So if you know where to look and you know what to look for, you can discern or kind of tell, or maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about whether or not the person you're interacting with has godly wisdom or whether or not you are operating in godly wisdom. Okay, so James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Whoo, I'm so excited about this. Okay, the word of God says we should ask for wisdom. Who wants wisdom? Okay, that's good. I want it. Not everyone raised their hand. I don't know why you wouldn't raise your hand, but I got my hand up. I want wisdom. I want God to show up in my life and give me wisdom about my money, about my kids, about my marriage, and then some of you, maybe you want godly wisdom for future marriage, right? Or maybe you want godly wisdom about how to read God's word better, or how to understand him better, how to hear his voice better. Those are all things we can ask for. We say, God, give us wisdom. And the Bible says, if you need it, ask. So we're going to do that right now, because I want to be a doer of the word, and I don't want to just sit and hear it and then walk away from it and forget about it. And we're not busy, right? So we're going to do this now. We're going to go to God right now. As I pray over you, if you said yes to any of those things I called out, or something else came to your mind, like, Lord, I need wisdom about that. Let's go to God right now. You call it out if it pops in your head while I pray. And we're going to just ask God for it right now. All right, Lord, your Bible said, if we want wisdom, we can ask you. So we're asking. We're going to put this into action right now. God, I need wisdom over the next steps in my life. I need wisdom, and we need wisdom over what's coming next. We can't see ahead without you, Lord God. So will you please show up like you said you would in our life with your godly wisdom? And when you give it to us, Lord, we're going to thank you for it, and we're going to use it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all. Whoa. So you already have done the word of God. You've asked for it. So now I'm going to challenge you. Expect to see it. Okay? God keeps his word. Expect to see it. And start expecting right now, because we still got more to talk about. Some of you, the answers you're waiting on are going to come through this sermon this morning. Okay? So let's keep going. Whew! I'm ready. Well, let's go a little deeper. There are a lot of smart people in the earth. Who would agree? I'd say there's a lot of smart people in the earth. Have anyone ever heard of maybe Galileo? Like, alive or dead, there have been a lot of smart people. Or Albert Einstein, right? Ruth Bader Ginsburg, okay? And some people would even say, like, Confucius and Steve Jobs and just all these people. There are a lot of intelligent people, people whose brains and their thinking are off the charts. But I want to remind us this morning, just because you're smart doesn't mean you have godly wisdom. Okay? And I want us to be people who have, possess, and steward godly wisdom well. And so that's what we're going to talk about. How can we have and steward godly wisdom? And how do we know if we've got it? Well, the scripture was telling us. Let's break it down. The first thing I want us to write down, the wise have a pure heart. The wise have a pure heart. Okay, that sounds like really Christian and awesome, right? Have a pure heart. But what is that? Because it's not talking about the organ that's actually in between my lungs and my chest. So what is it? What's a pure heart exactly? Well, a pure heart can also be called a clean heart. Okay, now from that scripture we read at the beginning of service, a clean heart would be a heart that's free from bitter envy, selfish ambition, okay, or those other things that are described all throughout the scriptures that keep our hearts far away from Christ. Another definition of a pure heart is a heart that looks like Jesus's heart. He's our example. If you ever want to know, God, how do you want me to live? What kind of Christian do you want me to be? You need to look at Jesus. He's the only one that got all of it right. There's some good people in the Bible, but they messed up too. Jesus is the example. He's the standard. And so if we've got a heart that looks like Jesus, we got a pure heart. Now, my heart doesn't look like Jesus. That's why I'm still coming to church and reading my Bible. Right? I haven't arrived yet. And neither have any of us. This is something that God works on in us. So while we're encouraged by God to desire and pursue a clean heart, a pure heart, Jeremiah 17:9 says that we can't know if our hearts are pure on our own. Like, that's just not a gift that God has given us to be able to see our own hearts the way he sees it. So only the Holy Spirit can show us what's in our hearts and let us know what does and doesn't belong there. This doesn't mean you're off the hook, okay? Actually, the Bible is clear that if we want a pure heart, we need to align ourselves and our lives with the thinking that comes from the Bible, that comes from Jesus, because there's a direct connection between how we think and what lands in our hearts. Honestly, I think that's why God created our bodies in the order he created. The mind is above the heart, because I think there is spiritually, there's this pipeline. I can picture this pipeline of what I think settling in my heart, and then what's in my heart flowing out my mouth. Okay? So Titus chapter 1, verse 15 says, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their, what? Minds and consciences are corrupt. Okay. So picture this. This is going to be funny. Picture this. This mom has a beautiful little baby, and the baby gets a bath at the hospital, and then the parents take that baby home, and they never give it another bath. That's the only bath this person gets in their entire life. Maybe they live 90 years and they never take another bath. Are they clean? But they didn't sweat. They didn't do anything. They just existed for 90 years. Are they clean? No. This is why we bathe babies, right? Because even though babies don't do anything, just living in the world, just existing in the world means dirt and impurities are gonna find you and you're gonna stink. Right? Our minds are the same way. Just being here and turning on the TV in the morning, you might be watching a great show. Just turning on the TV, just going to the grocery store, just walking around, sitting next to a person at a restaurant. Dirt and impurities from this culture, from the ways of this world, are gonna find your mind and they're gonna land inside your mind. So we have to wash our minds by reading God's word often and allowing what it says to change our thinking. Now remember, we're still getting a pure heart. So the word of God is how we take a bath as Christians. It's how you clean your mind. So Ephesians 5:25 says, Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, we got to clean our minds. However, there was a promise. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, when we clean our minds, we'll be able to see God's perfect, pleasing will better. Okay, so because we're letting God wash our minds daily by getting up and having quiet time and reading through the Bible, the connection between my mind and heart is getting cleaned out. There are things inside of me that God is taking out. He said, that doesn't belong in a daughter of God. That doesn't belong in a son of God. And now my heart is getting more pure. I can see God in his scriptures better. I can hear his voice better, right? And then I'm walking in the scripture of Matthew 5:8 that says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So if you were asking God this morning, Lord, I need more wisdom in how to see you, that was for you. Okay? But we shouldn't stop there. We should keep going. Seeing and understanding God through a pure heart is awesome, but it's not all that we can do. Psalm 119:9 says, how can a man keep his way pure? By heeding every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So when you start to see God better in his scripture, and your heart is getting clean and more pure, and you're understanding what God expects of you, and he gives you those next steps, act on it. Do it. Obey. Not because he's God and he's like, follow me, do what I say, I'm God. No. But because when we obey God, we stay close to him. And when we draw closer to him, he keeps us, right? He keeps us in his perfect peace. He keeps us close to him. And we can keep our hearts in the position to stay pure. Because we're obeying him, not the earthly wisdom. So when you come close to God, James 4:8 says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Only two types of wisdom. There's really only two teams. The kingdom of heaven and everything else. So I want to be a godly person. I want to stand for the kingdom of heaven in my life. I need to come close to God. I need to obey when he gives me steps. Number two, write this down. The wise love peace. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is peace loving. That's James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. I'm sure we have ideas of what peace is and what it's not, but I want you to look at this picture. It's a sweet little baby. Oh, right? This is every parent's favorite time of the day. Right? Sweet little cute baby. This is what the world says peace is. Right? Sleep in heavenly peace. But actually, the Bible says in Philippians 4:7, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind. So while that picture was beautiful and sweet, peace is not a sleeping baby. That sleeping baby picture is what peace will do in you. That's the fruit of peace. Peace is active. It's a guard, right? Show me the picture of the guard. Okay, that's a security guard. Now, security guards, they don't go looking for trouble if they're doing their job right. They don't go looking for trouble. But they will defend their territory if an intruder tries to step in. And that's what the peace of God does for us. It defends, right? So we can sleep like that baby. So we can have peace in our minds like that baby. Show me the next picture in football. I didn't play football, but I believe my information is correct. In football, there's a left guard and a right guard, and they protect the quarterback. But that's not all they do. They're making sure the quarterback doesn't get tackled, but they're also pushing against the enemy. And they're pushing the enemy back. And as they push the enemy back, holes start to open up. And you know who can come through? The running backs. Because the quarterback needs someone to throw the ball to, so those running backs are dodging through those holes. And then the ball can get thrown. We get down the field, touchdown, right? Guards. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind. So if the wise love peace, that means they love guarding the hearts and minds of others. If you want to be a person that is seen as godly and wise, then you need to love peace. You need to be willing to guard other people and protect other people from those things that keep us far from God. So a truly wise person isn't going to post things on social media just to prove a point, because that's not peace loving, right? And that's not protecting people. If you're just doing it to prove a point and to be loud and obnoxious, that's not godly wisdom. But a wise person will speak the truth in love while carefully honoring the person they're talking to. Okay, the wise are gentle. Number three, the wise are gentle. Gentle. Whew. Now, let's read this scripture again. Though we're going to read it in the King James Version because that's how God told me to give it to you. So, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then what? Gentle. Gentle. Okay. Gentleness. The word gentle in this scripture can be translated from the Greek, and it actually means reasonable, fair, and not insisting on the letter of the law. Now, gentleness can also be described as choosing not to use all the force you actually possess for someone else's benefit. Okay, that seems simple, but it's actually very hard to accomplish. Being gentle is not weakness. Being gentle is not weakness. For all the men in the room, because I think you guys get this the raw end of the deal when it comes to gentleness, it's not weakness. It's really not. Women, we love gentlemen. We do. We want to see that. Because now you can be strong too, but we love gentleness in others. Gentle is not weak. It's hard. It requires inner discipline, which many people in our culture just don't take the time to get. They just don't. So here are some examples. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh answer stirs up anger. Romans 15, we who are strong must be considerate or gentle of those who are sensitive about things. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord, for even Christ didn't live to please himself. And in James 1, verse 19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. So don't live to please yourself. Give a kind answer when you're dealing with anger and be slow to speak, quick to listen. Are we hearing the discipline, the inner discipline that's required from God when he's talking about gentleness? That's hard. So let's break it down even further. Personally, I find gentleness difficult when I'm angry or when like one of my kids disobeys and I'm like, why did you do that? I find gentleness difficult. Or when I've seen injustice, I find gentleness very difficult. However, I don't think I'm the only one. I'm just saying. But the reason why I say that, there is a movement or this almost mantra that seemed to have risen up from the depths of our culture that screams at the world, screams at us, silence is agreement. Have you heard that? Silence is agreement. Okay, now, I think that may have come from very well-meaning people, a very good place in that person's heart. But if we look at it carefully, I think it's actually earthly wisdom. And godly wisdom would say silence is not always agreement. Can you prove that, Pastor Ashley? Yes, I can. Here we go. So Jesus, in Matthew chapter 26, was being interrogated by the high priest Caiaphas, and he was brought in, and it was before he went to the cross. And he was accused of a lot of things, okay? Even he was interrogated by several people, but he was accused of a lot of things, all incriminating. Ultimately, the interrogation was to force him into a position. It was to force him to take a position on an issue. It was to force him to speak, right? And it was to force him to defend who he was and what he believed. Now, he didn't speak through most of this interrogation. He could have. And I would say for 90% of it, he didn't say a word. He just stood there. The scriptures will tell you that. Was his silence agreement? No. It was wisdom. He's the Son of God. If anyone could have proven who he really was and just blown him all to pieces, Jesus could have done that. He didn't lack power. He didn't lack ability. He could have shown up in a way that we would never have forgotten. Instead, he made the decision to choose not to use all the force he possessed for our benefit. He chose gentleness, right? Yeah, let's clap for God, because, right? Thank you, Lord. He chose to be gentleness. This is why the Bible calls him the Lamb of God that was slain. Because he was as a lamb. He was soft and gentle. In a moment where I think the rest of us, I would have been like, let me tell you something. Like, I would not have been gentle. Jesus was. And Jesus chose gentleness all the way to the cross. So what did we learn? The wise have a pure heart. The wise love peace. And the wise are gentle. So as we continue in this journey of godly wisdom, I want you to please, with all of your heart, welcome to the stage, Pastor James Mercer.
Can we give it up for Pastor Ashley one more time? Isn't that awesome? Good morning. I'm very excited to be here today. I'll tell you something that's funny, though. Nothing makes you feel more like a kid, even at 32 years old, than when your mom sits right in the front row. Hi, Mom. Good morning, church. I'm so excited to be here today. We're talking about a very important topic, and I just want to say thank you, Pastor Dave. Thank you, Pastor Shuri. Where's Pastor Shuri? Hi. You did so great leading worship this morning. It is an honor to be up here and teach today, so thank you for allowing me to do this today. So we are talking about wisdom. Everyone say wisdom. Pastor Ashley kicked us off with three big topics, right? The wise have a pure heart, the wise love peace, and the wise are gentle. Now, I know it's a little bit on the nose that we're talking through the book of James, and, you know, but listen, us guys, James, we got to stick together, okay? I realize that James and John, the disciples in the Bible, that they kind of got on the disciples' nerves. And my wife will say that's probably the same way that I am with her. Yeah? Yeah? So me and James are sticking together today, and we're talking about wisdom. Now, here's the thing. Is James, when we read these scriptures, he did not hold back. Like me, I don't like to hold back. So are you okay if we get real in the house this morning? Okay. So we were talking through this idea that we need to be using godly wisdom, not earthly wisdom, right? I know you took notes. I want to say it one more time. The wise have a pure heart. So good. The wise love peace. The wise are gentle. I love that one. We're going to continue on with number four. If you got your notes, got your phones, write this down. Number four, the wise are willing to yield. Ooh, ooh. The wise are willing to yield. This passage says that the wisdom that comes from heaven is submissive. Now, this word submissive in our kind of day and age can have a negative connotation, right? Like, sit, lay down, roll over. It's like, you're a dog. That is not what James is teaching in this passage. So what he's teaching comes from this Greek word. I don't know if Pastor Abel's in here. He's going to correct me with his Greek theology. Eupithes. Everyone say eupithes. This is from the words eu, which means good, and pytho, which means to yield. So James is saying, no. The wise know when it's good to yield to one another. Now listen, I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I'm a son. I'm not claiming to be all that wise. I'm not claiming to have this all together. But I will tell you what. I know how hard it can be to respond with wisdom. Am I the only one? Right. Sometimes it's okay to respond with, wow, I didn't realize that's how that was for you. Sometimes it's okay to respond with, the more I think about it, you're right. What? Repeat this after me. You're right. Oh. Some of you have never said that before in your life. Y'all, it is okay to yield to one another. It is wisdom from God that there are opportunities for us to yield to one another. Proverbs 12:15 says this, fools are headstrong and do what they like. Wise people take advice. Ooh, who wants to be wise today? Yeah? Now, I can't even open up Facebook anymore because it seems like it's just filled with earthly wisdom. Yeah? Every time I get on there, there's people arguing about everything, and I'm sure there's topics that are really important, but is it not half the time people just arguing about the stupidest stuff? Right? Isn't that the truth? Should the toilet paper go over or should it go under? Are there more windows or are there more doors? This is like what's happening in 2020. In case you didn't know, this is like the hot topic right now. Now this one everyone agrees with. Pineapple should be on pizza, right? Let's go. And everybody said amen. I love it. Now, sincerely, what I would love to have happen one of these days is like, you know those posts where people are like 50, 60, 70 paragraphs deep of just bludgeoning each other with just this ridiculous stuff, and someone needs to get on there and be like, you know what? You changed my mind. You're right. I mean, it'll never happen, but that would be the coolest thing ever, right? Now watch this. What if the people of LifeLink Church were like that? What if the people of God actually took this godly wisdom and said, no, I'm willing to yield? What would the church look like? What would our church look like? So I want to ask this question. I want to ask this question. Am I reasonable? This is the question we should be asking ourselves. We look at this passage. We shouldn't just glaze over it, but actually ask ourselves this question. Am I reasonable? Nudge your brother beside you and say, be reasonable, bro. Be reasonable, bro. Number five, here we go. The wise minimize the mistakes of others. Ooh, James, what are you talking about? The wise minimize the mistakes of others. James 3 goes on to say this, the wisdom that comes from heaven is full of mercy and good fruit. Now, I know you know this. You may not realize you know this, but you know a song about this already. Did you know that? What? I already know a song about this? Yes. It goes like this. You ready? Sing along. Let it go. Let it go. Now, understand, I am definitely a dad. I know we just got out of the Frozen phase, and that was Encanto. It's like, yeah, we moved on. But that song is a perfect picture of this passage, okay? But James, you don't understand. They did it a second time. Let it go. No. They did it a third time. Like a third time. Let it go. James, hold on. They did it a fourth time. Okay, now we need to, this is a little bit different, right? So let it go. Let it go. Back up a chapter to James 2. Y'all, this is so important that we see this. Speak and act. This is verses 12 and 13. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Watch this. Mercy triumphs over judgment. If you got your Bic highlighter and your paper Bible, that should be like highlighted to the all over, right? Mercy triumphs over judgment. There's a quote that sums this up perfectly. And it says this, I'd rather stand before God having loved too much than having judged too harshly. Now, church, please hear me. Please hear me. This does not minimize awful, terrible things that have been done to us. That's real. So I'm not minimizing those things. Evil is still evil. But y'all, God is still just. This is the God that we serve. But here's what I believe James is talking about in this passage. This isn't easy, but here's what he's talking about. I believe that Jesus is looking at the church and he wants us to be unoffendable. He's teaching us, y'all, just be unoffendable. What if we chose today that when we leave this building, I'm simply not going to allow myself to get offended. It's crazy, right? Or is it? What if we chose today to walk in mercy with someone before we left the building, pre-setting ourselves to walk in mercy, knowing that we're going to have to sit across the coffee table from that person that did something that offended us, but we chose in advance to not let that wall of offense stop us. We choose in advance to fight for community. We choose in advance to fight for one another. What would our church look like? Now, I know y'all, you've already got this figured out, but this is so important. So here's a question that we should be asking ourselves today. What do I need to stop bringing up? Ouch. Shake that bush. Look to your other neighbor and say, let it go. Bonus points if you like starting the verse. The snow goes, I'm not gonna do it. Okay. Number six, you guys ready for the last one? Number six, the wise are authentic. This one hits very close to home for me. This is a very, very, very important one. The wise are authentic. James 3 goes on to say this, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is impartial and sincere. Impartial and sincere. What you may not know is those two words actually come from the Greek word hypocrite. Now, everyone knows what that word means, right? Here's what you have to understand. This, we may not know that this, a hypocrite was actually a name for like an actor in Greek playhouse. When they only had a few actors, what these hypocrites would do is they would go and they would grab masks. And that's how they would switch up roles in theater. So James is teaching us here, y'all, I know we just came through a season of physical masks. I didn't even recognize some of you when you took your mask off. It's wild. We just came through the season of physical masks, whatever we feel about it. James is teaching us, y'all, we cannot wear masks on our heart. I want to remind you today that it is very dangerous to wear a mask around your heart. It's maybe the first time you've heard that before. It is very dangerous. If you're the only one that knows that things that you're holding on to, you aren't in a safe place. Y'all, that's a dangerous place to be. This is where darkness will show up every single time and cause torment, will cause all kinds of issues. Now, what I'm not saying is you gotta come up here, grab the mic, and like confess everything that's going on in your life in front of everybody. But I will take the plug and talk about life groups for a second. Who in here is in a life group? Okay, now, who in here has found a person that they can talk to in life groups? Yeah, so good, right? We're finishing off life group semester this week. I know, so sad. But there's another semester coming. If you have not been in a life group, this is your reminder. Get in a life group. I could probably parade a stage full of people that have come to LifeLink Church, jumped in a life group, and experienced radical life change. Right? It's because the challenge is to take one person, to have that one person that we can say, you know what? No one knows this, but I'm struggling with. Hey, could you help me with? I'm smiling, but really, here's the question we need to be asking ourselves, and this is a hard one. What am I hiding? I know this is so hard, but we have to understand that that James is teaching us that those who are wise cannot hide at the same time. Being wise and hiding can't exist at the same time. So the question, what am I hiding? In closing today, here's the six things we learned. If you didn't get a chance to write them down, here's your last chance. One, the wise have pure hearts. 2, the wise love peace. 3, the wise are gentle. 4, the wise are willing to yield. 5, the wise minimize the mistakes of others. And 6, the wise are authentic. Now, the question has to be asked after all of this. Why does God want us wise? Right? Like, why can't we just live with our internal logic, our internal wisdom? Why does God actually challenge us to use godly wisdom? I don't know if you know this, but I wear glasses. That's what those are. Yeah, these are glasses. These help me see better. I know other people in here do that as well. If you've never had glasses before and you don't understand what they're for, let me explain. I cannot see superstellar like some of you people can. So I wear glasses to help me see better. Now watch this. If I take my glasses off, I can't see super well. I can kind of see that screen back there. I can kind of see people. Now, if I put on these sunglasses, these are my wife's, by the way, not mine. Hey online, what's up? I know I look super cute. I know I should be singing Benny and the Jets right now. I'm not going to. These don't help me see better. I realize that not everything we talked about is easy today. I realize that when we look at these points of godly wisdom, that there's some of them that are really hard for us to do. Church, are we willing to actually let Scripture change us today? Are we willing to look at maybe that one that stuck out today and go, it's not in focus. Am I squinting? But these look really cute. My worldview, the way that I feel, is a lot cooler and a lot more fun. It makes me feel a lot better about myself. It makes me feel a lot better around my friends. It makes me stand out. Are we willing to say, no, I'm gonna take off what's out of perspective, out of focus. I'm gonna choose to use the Word of God, and I'm gonna change. Does that make sense? James 3, verse 18. He ends with this. This is like that, like, ka-cha, right at the end of the chapter. James 3, 18. Everyone listen to this. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. He taught all about this, about wisdom, a godly wisdom. And then it goes on to say, basically saying, if you are choosing to take up godly wisdom, to fight for these things, you will be a peacemaker. You will walk in peace everywhere you go. You will change the environment. You will change your schools. You will change your families. You will change your family tree. Everywhere you go, you will walk in peace. Is that not what we want today, church? I pray that we're willing to adjust this today. And I just want to ask this question. What would actually happen if we did? What would happen if we did? I know these are hard. I know none of us have it perfect. There's probably some that really stick out to us, but what would happen if we did? Imagine walking into situations with family and friends, and we're able to just sow peace. Like, no, it's all good. Imagine being in high school and walking into your school and actually having influence. And not just going about life, but like actually having influence. Imagine having hard conversations with people and choosing to fight for unity. Like, we're gonna have a hard conversation, but I'm here for unity. That's why I'm here, not to prove my point. We will develop strong godly relationships. Y'all, those are relationships that actually build us up and protect us. Now, I am so excited about the season we're about to walk into as a church. Anybody else? I know you've been hearing about it for a while now, but we are about to take some serious ground. We're doing some awesome things coming up in the next few months. If we don't get this right, I believe God's like, y'all, you're gonna be like the Israelites wandering around a desert season. I am not interested in a desert season, y'all. I don't think Pastor Dave and Cherie are interested in a desert season. Are you? No. I think it's time that, you know what? I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna dig in, I'm gonna take this, I'm gonna fight for godly wisdom, because we don't wanna get trapped in a desert season. We wanna walk into a season where we can speak to the mountain and it moves, where our valley is changed because of us as a church. Amen? Now, before we close, I want to pray, but I want to bring light to just one piece of this. I'm sure for a lot of us, we go, yep, that one, maybe that two, maybe five, like those are the ones I got to work on. Please understand that if we try and do this through our earthly strength, we will default back every time. I don't know if anyone in this place has ever tried that before. I have. It doesn't work. What that means is this all comes through relationship with Christ. That's the foundation to all of this. We can strive and try as hard as we want, but we will fall short every time because this is really built on our relationship with Jesus. So before we step away from today, before we go and we try and do this thing, I want to take an opportunity and just slow down because I know there's probably people in this place that are like, James, this is awesome. I'm pumped. I want to be so wise, but I don't even know where the starting point is. I don't even have a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe I have a relationship with Jesus, listening through these points of wisdom, I am so far from what I thought my relationship needs to be. So before we take this charge, before we go and we, you know, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna dig in, I'm gonna ask those questions, it's gonna be hard, I'm gonna make a friend, it's gonna be awesome. I wanna slow down and say, hey, if you're in this place and you're thinking, you know what, I need a fresh start with Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, this is really good. I want this to actually work in my life. I need to start a relationship with Jesus. I would like to pray. It's a simple prayer. And if that's you, would you pray along with me? Yeah? Why don't we all pray today? Let's bow our heads. Repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to give me the truth of your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on the cross to pay for my sins. Today I'm asking you to forgive me of every sin, that you wash me and cleanse me and make me brand new. Today I'm giving my life to you. No turning back. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said, amen. Church, you get something out of this today? Man, it's a good day.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.